This is BPN Radio, your 24-hour internet prayer station with Dale Gentry and friends, calling America to pray, a member of the Breakout Prayer Network. Let's pray, America.
It's time to pray, America. It's time to pray for change.
We need to see change.
Now, here's your Hour of Power prayer leader, Dale Gentry.
Okay, I want to welcome back on BPN Radio today my dear friend Frank Mazapika. He's been my friend for several years. He grew up in Boston, has been a minister for 35 years, served as a public school teacher, adjunct professor, instructor of psychology at Lamar University. He's a licensed marriage and family counselor. He ran for United States Congress, served in the Air Force, is the author of several books, including The Touch Me Not Woman, Putting Pants Back on the Church, The Unsupervised Man, The Unsupervised Woman. He's also author of Meet the Beast that we talked about last week. He's married, the father of six children, also proud grandpa of three. He's also the lead pastor of a great church near Houston, Texas, Humble, Texas, New Covenant Church. And so welcome back to BPN Radio, Maz.
Thank you so much for having me back. I'm excited about talking about stuff with you.
And you told me last week that you've been studying about the end times since the 70s. And what
1978.
And what created that appetite to study and do research on the end times?
Actually, initially, when I was in the military, there was a lot of people that were trying to get me converted, if you would. And I was real resistant, very oppositional, didn't want to have anything to do with them. I just really was difficult until they dropped into my hands a Chick Publications comic book. And I read it, and it was about the end times, and it scared me half to death. It got me to listen to them. Within some months later, I was converted. I became an avid student of the Bible, as many of your listeners are. And I got past the fear, and then the intrigue set in, and then the obsession, I think. And so I've pastored for a long time. I think I've been pastoring now for 37 years around the country. And I think that always in the back of my mind, I think my candy stick, if you would, is always about the second coming of Jesus Christ. I just can't get myself away from that subject. No matter what I preach, no matter where I am, no matter what conference I'm in, I have been literally obsessed with the second coming of Jesus Christ. And I think that pleases the Lord, you know, because he says, watch and wait, and them that love his appearing. Well, I'm one of those guys.
And you do believe in the rapture?
Yes, sir, I surely do.
You believe it could happen at any moment?
Oh, yes, absolutely. I don't think that there's anything we need to be waiting on. Nothing at all.
And how do you respond to these people that say, well, we know that this gospel has got to be preached all around the world, and then the second coming is going to happen after every nation of the world receives the gospel? How do you handle that?
I believe it has already. I believe that with television, Twitter, online, I mean, I have preached in third world nations. I've climbed mountains to the people that are referred to as the forgotten people. And they may have a cow as skinny as a dog, literally, a horse that looks as small as a little dog, starving to death. But they'll have a cell phone. They'll have a laptop. it's amazing. People all over the world, I believe, have heard the gospel. But there's also the argument of what really is the world. Mm-hmm. Is it the Mesopotamian area? Is it the Mediterranean area? Is it any of the nations around Jerusalem? But right now, I believe you could clearly, easily say that 180 nations that exist right now, the gospel is preached. I don't see any problem with believing that that has already been fulfilled.
Mm-hmm. Well, today I want you to talk to us about the 1,000 years. We know that during the 1,000 years, there will be after we return, I guess after the Battle of Armageddon, we're going to be here 1,000 years, And the corruptible, I guess, will cohabitate with the incorruptible, right, for the 1,000 years.
Yes, exactly.
Talk to us about what's going to happen.
Sure. Most Christians that have studied the 1,000-year millennial reign, they're used to the typical descriptions, like the lion will sleep with the lamb. In other words, there'll be no carnivorous animals or no wars and no rumors of wars and no weapons of mass destruction, that they'll be beating their guns into plowshares. We all know that. Oh, Jesus Christ reigning for 1,000 years. There'll be no real aging process to speak of, that if you're if you die at 100 years old, as the Bible gives an example, you'll be considered just a child. Satan is cast into the bottomless pit for the 1,000 years. The Antichrist and the false prophets will be thrown into the lake of fire. No, there'll be no repossessions of your house. There'll be no farming issues. What else? Satan is released after the 1,000 years, Gog and Magog, war at the very end, and then the final end of the world as we know it, described by Peter, where the entire earth is put into the flame of fire. But there is chock full of information that I never realized until I really delved into this 1,000-year millennial that I regretfully, Dale, I have fallen short on preaching on this stuff because, as an example, I've always avoided who are the survivors, who are the human survivors that will make it through the tribulation but will not be raptured. These people are earth inhabitants. They are mortal beings. Who are they? How do they make it through it? And I done this study, and I've come to this conclusion, along with a lot of theologians that I have read on in their commentaries. There are three groups of surviving people. Number one, it's the raptured immortal people, the Church of the Living God, you and I, that have been living for Jesus Christ. We will be raptured and returned back to the earth. This is stuff that we already know. And we'll be kings and priests on the earth for 1,000 years. We'll be helping him reign on this earth. There'll be another group. These will be mortal people, but it falls into two categories, which is the Jewish survivors and the Gentile survivors. Those are two different groups because the time of the Gentiles will be over, and Jesus Christ will turn his head back to the Jewish people. And it's not like he's ignoring the Gentiles, but he's bringing the Jewish people back into the fold, back into the attention. It's clear that more Gentiles are saved in these past 2,000 years than Jewish people. Jewish people do get saved, of course they do, but right now Gentiles are quick to recognize Jesus as the Messiah, where Jewish people are not so quick. They're still waiting for the first coming of Jesus Christ, where when he does come back, we believe that's the second coming. These people that are going to survive the earth, it's going to be quite the chore. The Bible says that they're going to be considered blessed because they survived, because the second coming of Jesus Christ, and I don't want to put fear into your listeners, but it's considered the terrible day of the Lord. It's a terrifying time for non-believers. It's a time that it's an all outright attack, mm-hmm. an invasion, if you would, a mm-hmm. colonization of Jesus Christ and his angelic soldiers and his saints of the living God. And he's coming to kill, literally. This is his intentions. You just take a look at his eyes that are flame of fire, this symbolic sword that comes out of his mouth, his vestures or his clothes or his raiment is dipped in blood. I mean, he means to do some pretty big business here. Mm-hmm. And he is coming to those that have opposed Christ in years gone by and that are living, those that have opposed Christians, to avenge, and those that are opposed to Jewish people. I'm going to suggest to you, Dale, that billions of people are going to die at the second coming of Jesus Christ. This is not an isolated around the Battle of Armageddon destruction. This is worldwide, all over the world. As a matter of fact, the Bible says that Jesus Christ will come with his vengeance, and he'll send all the angels of heaven, and he'll send them out. And he will have the angels go out and do this killing. And this is in the New Testament, Matthew mm-hmm. 13 and mm-hmm. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1.
And
they go out to the whole world and kill.
And how will they kill him?
He will kill them with the sword. They will all die, and it will be a bloody mess. all over the world.
Mm-hmm.
This is actually the moment of the sheep from the goats, the tares from the wheat. A lot of people feel like that is the judgment, white throne judgment of Jesus, of God Almighty, rather, in the last chapter of the book of Revelation, but this is not the case at all. This is going to be a carnage, massacre all over the world. Not for the people of God. The people of God, they see him, and we will be so happy. We'll be rejoicing. The King of Kings and the Lord of Lords has returned. We are the elect. We're his bride. We are his wife. And then one-third, the Bible says in Zechariah 13, one-third of the Jews are going to survive this whole carnage as well. Once all of this is all settled, there are some people that believe that this has already happened, 70 AD, when Jerusalem got destroyed by Titus and the Romans. This is not true, because one of the biggest signs of the return of Jesus Christ is that his feet touch Mount of Olives,
mm-hmm.
and it'll divide in half with a great earthquake. This has not happened yet.
Mm-hmm.
And other things, like, for instance, when Jesus Christ touches Mount Olivet, out of the city of Jerusalem will come out these two rivers. And these two rivers are life-giving rivers that give life to the inhabitants of the earth. Now, I don't want to make it sound like this is going to be like the most horrible experience for everybody. It will be for all those that were Antichrist spirit, that stood against Jesus, that refuted Jesus, the agnostics, those that refused the gospel, the atheists, of course, the armies that stood against Israel, and not to mention the armies that will literally turn their guns on Jesus Christ coming up out of the sky in the book of Revelation, chapter 19. Mountains will be overturned, cliffs will be crushed, walls will fall down, islands will disappear. But there are positive things that will happen to the geography. Like, number one, Isaiah 51 says that the whole earth, especially Israel, will be so lush that it will appear to be, and these are the exact words that Isaiah says, that it will be likened unto the Garden of Eden. That's how beautiful it will be on the earth.
Mm-hmm.
And I mentioned the two rivers coming up out of Jerusalem,
mm-hmm.
that will be life-giving waters. There will be no such thing as SIDS, S-I-D-S, sudden infant death syndrome. No babies will die. The Bible says that.
Mm-hmm.
There'll be. Here's something cool also that is never mentioned in the typical description of the millennial reign. At the Temple Mount, and there's a lot of geographical changes that take place there as well, above the Temple Mount, above the temple, there will appear all in the night, almost like in the wilderness, a ring of fire that will cover the Temple Mount and the new temple, which is Ezekiel's temple. Not the first temple, not the second temple, not the third temple, but this is a completely different temple, Ezekiel's temple, where Jesus Christ will reign inside of that temple, his throne and his abode. The Bible says that his feet, the soles of his feet, will abide in the holiest of holies, and that will be the new throne room scene. And that's where he will reign in Jerusalem, which will be the capital of the world. And in the daytime, the Bible says that above the Mount, the Temple Mount, right now where the mosque is, the Dome of the Rock is, that's going to be wiped out. There will be a dark cloud that will hover above it, much like in the wilderness when they wandered, and it'll be a shade for those that are working in the temple. And it's just a lot of detail that is given to the people on the earth. Now, another description about the people on the earth, there's no such thing as an unbeliever after the second coming. But here's something astounding, Dale. Even though there is no unbelievers, there will be a lot of non-receivers throughout the 1,000 years. There will be people, in Isaiah 26 and 10 it says, there will be people that won't embrace Jesus Christ's reign during the 1,000 years intermittently. They won't acknowledge his rule. They won't recognize his kingdom. And he will curse those people. As a matter of fact, during this 1,000 years, this is another cool thing. All the nations of the world, once a year, during the millennial reign, need to travel to Jerusalem on pilgrimage, a lot like the Islamic people that do this Mecca trip to Mecca once a year.
Mm-hmm.
Well, according to the scriptures, the Bible says in Zechariah 14 that the nations will be drawn and called to the temple from all over the world. And if there's a nation that does not come, this is all, by the way, this is an annual thing during the Feast of Tabernacles, which mm-hmm. will continue during the thousand-year millennial reign.
Mm-hmm.
If a nation doesn't come with their representatives and et cetera, the Bible says that God will withhold the rain from their land and there will be a famine there. So there are people on the earth, this is mind-boggling. I mean, I'm totally astounded.
Mm-hmm.
Even though the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ is there, you've got, I don't know, millions, maybe billions of raptured, immortal people living on the earth, acting as kings and priests. There will still be people that are human, human mortals, that will rebel against Jesus Christ's reign. It is remarkable. But there will be immediate consequence to these people. They'll be immediately cursed and destroyed. What's so amazing about this also, Dale, is you got to remember, there is no Satan to tempt them. There are no demons.
Mm-hmm.
There's no Antichrist. There's no false prophet.
Mm-hmm.
So they are purely rebellious within their own flesh. We have three enemies, you and I, and your listeners. We have Satan and all of his demons. We have our flesh, and we have the world. These are the three enemies that we have to deal with each and every day. You can take out two of them right off the bat. You can take out the world, and you can take out the demons and Satan.
Mm-hmm.
The only thing left for these rebellious people on the earth throughout the thousand years that are considered survivors, and they have children and children's children, the ages of the thousand years, they will rebel against Jesus Christ. There will be very few men, by the way, that will survive the second coming of Jesus Christ. Isn't that something that I've come to the conclusion of just because there's wars and men fight wars? It is highly outlined in Isaiah 13 and 10 and Isaiah 26. It says that to find a man will be like finding precious gold. That seven women will seek out one man and say to the man, we don't want you to have to fund us for food or raiment. We can do that ourselves. We just need to remove the reproach from us. We need to have a name. We need to be married and we want children. So to find men during the millennial reign initially will be very, very difficult. This is amazing stuff I'm sharing with you because Jesus Christ will be teaching law, he'll be teaching Torah, and he'll be teaching the covenant. There won't be a single person on the face of the earth that will not know the pure and unadulterated truth about Jesus Christ. I'm afraid to share some of the things that I've found, but I will say some superficial stuff. There won't be any sickness. There will be no mutes. There will be no deaf people. As I mentioned, no babies that are born. They will not die. There will be no repossession or mortgages on homes where you can build a house and then you're going to lose it. There will be no farming difficulties because there will be loam, lush soil and grass. Here's something that's going to freak you out of your living lid. The Bible says that the sun will actually be seven times brighter during the thousand years. Not hotter, but brighter.
Mm-hmm.
And the moon will be as bright as the sun.
Mm-hmm.
That, for me, freaks me out of my lid. If you need a scripture on that, it's in Isaiah 30 and 26.
Uh-huh.
The reason why the sun is going to be seven times brighter, not hotter, mind you, but brighter, is because the agriculture, the farming, the gardens will be the sole industry of the thousand-year millennial reign. Many of the commentaries say that all high towers and all cities that have skyscrapers will be destroyed, that there'll be no manufacturing, that the only industry, once again, will be agriculture. And the sun, being seven times brighter, will speed up the process of chlorophyll in the exchange of the nourishment of the sun into all of the vegetables and fruits. It is suggesting because animals are non-carnivorous, so will man, that the Bible says that no one will do harm to anyone. Now, if me personally, I am a meat-eating fanatic. I love steak. I love eating meat.
Yeah.
However, during the millennial reign, it is there's illusions there that state that no one will eat meat, that everyone will be vegetarian. And so the amount of product being produced from the earth is going to be mountainous. I'm just pretty excited about how much we didn't know about the millennial reign of Jesus Christ. Something else that's cool is that there are a lot of things missing in the temple that we've always seen as permanent fixtures. There's not going to be a veil that will separate the holiest of holies and the holy place. There's no partition that will separate the men from the women. There is no gold whatsoever in the temple. There's no bronze laver or the brazen laver where the priests wash. That's not there. Ezekiel doesn't mention a lampstand or the menorah. There's no shewbread. There is no tables of shewbread, which is 12 or 20 for the priest to eat. There's no altar of incense, and there's no Ark of the Covenant. But there'll be a throne in a throne room inside of the Holiest of Holies. And here's something really cool. What separates the Holiest of Holies from the holy place is a wooden paneled wall with a double door made of wood. And there'll be two pictures on it, a carved picture of a lion and a carved picture of a man. And if you want to go see Jesus Christ in the Holiest of Holies sitting on the throne, you've got to go through these wooden double doors to see him at his throne. And to me, this is exciting. I can't handle it. I'm that excited. The thing that I'm afraid to share with your listeners is, and I don't have any personal interpretation of this, Dale, but it is very clear with all the commentaries, the theologians that write in the scriptures, there is a reinstitution of animal sacrifice during the millennial reign of Jesus Christ with Jesus in the temple. And I know what you may be thinking. You're saying, well, why in the world would they bring back blood sacrifice when Jesus Christ was the ultimate sacrifice? There's lots of reasons why these teachers share it, and there's nobody that refutes it. Is number one, that the animal sacrifice in the Old Testament was looking forward to the cross as an example. And during the millennial reign, the burnt sacrifices will be looking back at the cross as being the ultimate sacrifice. Else, the animal sacrifices never literally washed away any of man's sins, and it hasn't done it in the past and won't do it in the future, but it's going to stand as a memorial of what Jesus Christ actually did for us. It's the ultimate moment. And so minimally once a year, there will be animal sacrifice to show as an example of what Jesus Christ did as the ultimate bloodletting, if you would, for all of our sins. So as you can see, I'm just barely touching the surface of what in the world is going to happen during the millennial reign of Jesus Christ.
Okay.
There are some people, though, that don't even believe this, and I find that astounding.
There's not very many people that are talking about it like you are, Frank Mazapika. I want to remind everybody that you're listening to BPN Radio. Now we're having Frank Mazapika, and who has given years of his life to studying the end times, and we're talking about the thousand-year millennial reign. And I'm excited. You know, I'm a chronological type guy, and so just to review a little bit, we are waiting for the rapture of the church, which could happen at any moment. And the rapture, of course, will take place. And we that are alive, we're going to be caught up in the rapture along with those who have died in Christ, right? And we'll go to heaven. Is that correct?
That is correct, yes.
And then we return for the Battle of Armageddon. Is that correct?
Yes. That will be the second coming of Jesus Christ. Yes,
and then Satan is bound along with the false prophet and all of his demons for 1,000 years. Is that correct?
Well, Satan is bound, but the Antichrist and false prophet, they're just cast into the lake of fire.
Okay,
done with.
Right. I agree. So we that have come back, where are we going to live? Will we live together as families? And what will we who have returned from heaven, what will be our role during those 1,000 years? And where will we live? What will be our geographical location? And what will be our assignments during that? I mean, 1,000 years is a long time, Maz.
Yes, yes it is. The Bible says that, it insinuates when Jesus is speaking, that heaven is a reward-based place. And one of the rewards that he says, he likens it unto, is when he says that you have been entrusted with small responsibilities, I will give you 5 cities. And then it continues as I've entrusted with you some small responsibilities and commitments, and I will give you 10 cities. There is a very clear study that when we come back, that many of us will actually be used by the Lord after we are judged based upon our good deeds, not our salvation. Once we're raptured, we're good to go. The Corinthians were instructed by Paul that all of our good things that we had done in word and deed will be put on a fire, as you know, and the fire will engulf all of it. And some of our good deeds may be considered likened unto stubble or paper or hay. In other words, it wasn't very good works as you thought it was. And the better works are likened unto silver and gold, and that will survive the fire. And so the people that will have the greatest responsibilities on the earth as an immortal, returned, raptured person, they will be given governmentship, because the Bible says that we will share in his reign, that we will be co-reigners in Christ. And so he will send us out. Some of us will rule nations. Other of us will rule noblesse or cities or towns or villages. I kid around my congregation that I preach to, but I said some of us may be in charge of a cul-de-sac. I don't know, maybe a small little dead-end street. But we all will have responsibilities as a king and priest. Now, the reason why it's so cool when you think about king and priest is king, in this terminology of our age of 2015, is more political, and priest is more clergy.
Mm-hmm.
I hate to say this, but some of the most distrusted people that we see in the world are the politicians and a lot of the clergy mm-hmm. that have been unfaithful to God.
Mm-hmm.
But those are exactly the people that would be considered holy. We'll be holy men and women of God, though we will not have a gender. When we return back to the earth, we will be honored, trusted politicians, honored, trusted clergy on the earth, and we will teach Torah and the covenant of the Lord and the Ten Commandments. We will teach all this. There's not going to be a new law for the people that live on the earth. It's going to be the old law, the fulfilled law of Jesus Christ. And when you think about the Ten Commandments, a lot of people believe that it's been done away with. That is not true. It was fulfilled. The scriptures say that those that honor the Ten Commandments, they are considered blessed in the kingdom of God. So there will be a reinstitution for the entire world of the Sabbath day. And I am far from being a seven-day Adventist Sabbath recognizing kind of guy. If I can relax on that day, praise the Lord. But you helped me a lot with that
mm-hmm.
about choosing a day of rest. I mm-hmm. really do try to rest on the Sabbath, but sometimes I can't.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes it has to be a Monday where my day off is on Monday. But during the living on the earth, humans will obey a law. And we as raptured people, we will enforce and we will judge. We will be the courts around the world, and we will also judge the angels. We'll be important people. I'm really excited about that. I would love to be around the temple, but I may end up being positioned in a nation that may not be over in the Middle East. Wherever I am found, I'm going to be an ambassador, as well as you and the listeners.
Mm-hmm.
We'll be ambassadors of Christ.
Mm-hmm.
But it's going to be carnage. It's going to take a long time to clean up the mess, the dead. The world is going to have to... The Bible says that they'll actually hire people that are passing through the land hire people to help clean mm-hmm. and find dead bodies to bury them.
Mm-hmm.
The Bible says it would be the cleansing of the land because dead bodies is considered impure. And they will hire people to put stakes into the ground to indicate that there's a dead body here. It needs to be buried. It'll take, as you know, 7 months to bury the dead just in mm-hmm. Israel alone.
Mm-hmm.
That the blood will be set 4 feet deep and 200 miles long.
Mm-hmm.
It'll be after the horse's bridle.
Yeah.
But once it all the land has been cleansed, and once Jesus Christ has established his reign on the earth, then it's just going to be just beautiful, wonderful. I just can't hardly wait. I feel a little embarrassed that I haven't been preaching the kingdom more.
Yeah.
I've been preaching the rapture until I'm blue in the face, but I'm regretful that I have ignored Luke 4:43, where Jesus said that I've come, and the purpose of my coming is to preach the kingdom of God, the coming of the kingdom of God.
Mm-hmm. So
I've fallen short.
So you know, there's I'm sure we could respond with 1,000 questions like, when we return, are we going to live? Are we going to build houses? We're going to live in homes. What about what? How will we operate with the economy? Will we be near our family? Will we be near people that we know? What about what will we do? We won't need to sleep. What will we do while the other people are sleeping? There's a lot of questions, and might want to respond to 2 or 3 of those.
Well, the Bible says that we, as you know, I know I'm preaching to the choir here, but the immortals will be like the angels. We will not have bodies that require anything. Mm-hmm. As you said, there will be no need for sleep. We will eat, but there will be no need to eat. We'll eat just for the enjoyment of it, like the marriage supper of the Lamb and different things like that. And where we live and the families that we will have, once again, there's not a lot of scripture that talks about us rejoining our families. The scriptures do speak about the wives or wife that you have, that you will not be necessarily given to be with your wife or with your husband. I don't think that we'll be given to do that any more than the angels were given to do that. I know that through my studies of NDEs, out-of-body experiences or non-death experiences, these I've studied very, very hard, and I've come to some great conclusions. There's been some common denominators where people do die, according to Dr. Moody especially, that they are reunited with their loved ones. In that they are taken on a tour, if you would, and it's a beautiful experience. But I don't think that is the kingdom of God. I think that that's paradise. The way they describe it with the dewy grass and the singing of angels, and I don't really hear anybody talking about inside the city of Jerusalem, the New Jerusalem. I really think it's Abraham's bosom that everybody's going to, and I think that we'll be reunited with our families there. It'll be a beautiful time, a time before the rapture. These are the dead in Christ. I think that we will be reunited with our people. But once we're returning back to the earth, we are commissioned as ambassadors. I don't see us living a normal life. I see us living as spirit beings that will travel at the speed of thought, that there will be no travel sensation on our part, that we will be, the Bible says that, He shall change our vile body and fashion it like unto his glorious body. We'll have glorious bodies just like him, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself, that when we see God, we will be like him, that we will be like God, not God, but we will have a body like God, a spiritual body. And because of that, that we will be living like we live here on the earth. I don't think that we'll have like an abode. I don't think that we'll have a place to live. I think that we'll be traveling all the time and ministering and teaching and ministering unto the Lord. That's my opinion, and mm-hmm. I think that this script is in that.
Mm-hmm. What about commerce, and what about, of course, people, if they're going to go to Jerusalem once a year, evidently they'll need to take some flights. So we'll still have commerce and airplanes, and there will still be trading. What about the monetary system?
There's the Bible says that Jerusalem will be the capital of the world, that there will be one ruler of the entire world, and that will be Jesus Christ, who will be the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. There is insinuation that there will be no commerce as we know it today, but there will be bartering. One commentary said that there will be no planes, trains, or automobiles, that everything will be done through horses and through buckboards and through donkeys, and that, you know, it would be much like what Einstein said. He said that, I don't know about what will happen during the Third World War. He says, but I know what will happen during the Fourth World War. We'll be fighting with sticks and stones, because the destruction of the Third World War or the return of Jesus Christ will literally blow everything out. There will be nothing left that will even appear to have a nation that is industrial. That is the belief of a lot of these theologians, that we're going way, way back into the time of Jesus Christ. This is what I'm believing. And also, it doesn't really say that all the nations need to come to Jerusalem. It insinuates that the leaders of the nations will come to Jerusalem. Mm-hmm. Now, Jerusalem will change as well. The temple itself will be gigantic. There's more information about the description of Ezekiel's temple, where Jesus Christ will live in it, than all the descriptions of all the other temples put in the tabernacle of the wilderness put together. And the size of Jerusalem will be expanded and lifted higher. And the mount of the Temple Mount will be lifted higher than all the other mounts. There'll be a lot of geographical changes, as you can imagine, to handle the influx of people coming in from all over the world. But once again, the traveling and the pilgrimage may very well be just the representatives of the nations. I don't know how many people are going to survive. I don't know if it's going to be in the billions or millions. There are people that have determined that maybe, just maybe, according to their math, that there'll be only 250 million people living on the face of the earth after Jesus Christ's second coming. That many people will be dead, because those are the people that have not believed in Jesus Christ, that refuse Jesus Christ, that refuse his gospel. That's a lot of people. That's billions of people. And all of them. I know that we lean toward a merciful, loving Jesus Christ, but the Jesus Christ that was depicted when he walked the earth, according to Isaiah, was a man that was not to be desired. When he was glorified, when he rose from the dead, the apostles didn't recognize him. Mm-hmm. The reason why they didn't recognize him is because he no longer had that undesirable look about him. He had a glorified state. In other words, he was a beautiful man, a man that was magnified. He was more majestic. That's why they didn't catch that. But the Jesus that you'll see coming back, he'll have white, woolly hair. His feet will be bronzing, like just coming out of a furnace.
Mm-hmm.
He'll be wearing a bloody vesture. He's not wearing a camel. He's not riding a donkey like he did when he rode into Jerusalem. He'll be riding a war horse.
Mm-hmm.
And he is equipped to do great avenging and destruction. So the sight of Jesus Christ is furious, terrible. The Bible calls it the great and terrible day of the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
So when Jesus comes back, he will be unrecognizable of anything he's ever shown himself before. He will be truly the great Son of God, the part of the Trinity, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, the Avenger of the people. It's going to be a great day,
yeah.
But terrifying to non-believers.
Yeah, it is. It is. Well, it's very interesting what we're talking about, because so many people really don't think about the 1,000 years, but 1,000 years is a long time. And I'm thankful for the insights that you have. And I've still got lots of questions. I'm sure that our listeners have lots of questions. And but let's talk a little bit while we have time about what is happening right now in Israel, between the Israel, Hamas, the Palestinians, the Palestinians, the conflict that's going on, ISIS that is now encouraging the Palestinian people to attack the Jews. What is going on there? What do you see?
What I see is the development of what was said in the book of Revelation, written by John, where he said that 10 armies will rise, and they will be led by 10 kings that have no kingdom. And that is like ISIS or Hamas, Taliban, the Muslim Brotherhood, and on and on. I can easily count 10 right off the top of my head that are kings without kingdoms with armies. Their whole purpose is to surround Jerusalem, encompass Jerusalem, and to attack. There's a lot of anti-Semitism that is going on right now around the world. It seems like everybody is against the Jewish people, and this is all predicted. There's going to be an attack on Jerusalem. There'll be an attack, and it's going to be another Holocaust initially, but then after the Holocaust, there will be Jesus Christ coming to the rescue. Right now, ISIS is spreading his wings, or its wings, because they're retaking Iraq and Syria. Sadly to say, Gog and Magog, which is Russia, they've moved in. The Bible says that all the nations of the world will be pulled into this area of northern Syria, with a hook in their jaw, according to chapter 38 and chapter 39 of the book of Ezekiel. America is there. The United States of America is there. And to be sure, we will have boots on the ground. We will never leave the Middle East. Never. As a matter of fact, it was just reaffirmed that we're going to be keeping people in Afghanistan. We've got people in Syria. We've got them everywhere. And so I believe that from Iran, which is the tip of the spear, according to the book of Ezekiel, that Iran is going to produce the Antichrist and the false prophet. This is what's going to happen here. And they're going to produce it, and they have boots on the ground in Syria as well. So all the nations of the world have no choice. Hooks in their jaws. Bible says God's calling them for everyone to assemble their ungodly nations, their ungodly armies, and to encircle, to have a great war. And this is exactly what's happening. China is there. As I mentioned, Russia is already has 150,000 troops that are being recruited right now, and they're going to be sent to the Middle East. Iran is going to have a nuclear bomb here shortly, no matter what the peace treaty is. Lots of terrible things are happening, and no one is setting up anything. You know, the Bible says that the Antichrist is going to set up a kingdom or set up rules that will change laws and change times. And he is doing that right now. How is he changing laws, and how is he changing times? Well, he's changing laws because he's imputing Sharia law all around the world. As a matter of fact, this engulfing flow or flood, if you would, with the immigrants coming into Europe, they're pouring into all the European countries. This was a very bad move on Germany and Austria's part. They were trying to do a good thing, but sure enough, it's turned into an evil thing because they're creating Sharia law everywhere. So that's number one. That's the fulfillment of the changing of laws. And also the Antichrist has intentions of changing times. And what that means is that we go by a Greenwich time right now, which is in England. And so we have time zones, but not Islam. Islam has their own time zones. Islam goes by their own time, Mecca time, and they are establishing this all around the world. As a matter of fact, they're building the largest outside clock, Mecca time Islamic clock, in the entire world that will dwarf Big Ben in the middle of London. There is no clock like this clock. So what they're trying to do is they're trying to invade and colonize the whole world, to change laws from whatever your constitution is to Sharia law, and to change times to Greenwich time to Mecca time. And I want you to know that it's being very successful, especially in London. Well, my son right now, he's in London and Paris right now, and I said, do you see a lot of Islam there? He says, Dad, they're everywhere, everywhere. In some neighborhoods, you can't even go in the neighborhood because the neighborhood is clearly posted that they have Sharia law protection and Sharia law enforcement. Women cannot walk down those streets unless their head is covered. If they've got makeup or jewelry or the short skirts or they're wearing pants, they will be flogged in the middle of the street. And they're pouring into the American states, the United States, and they're pouring into Europe at such a pace right now that it's really called the repopulization of Europe. It's unbelievable what is happening right now. It's moving very rapidly.
Well, that is very evident. And I know that Islam is being taught in our school systems and our colleges and universities, while the Bible has been taken out, prayer has been taken out, and the vacuum is being filled without much Christian objection with the teaching of Islam. And, you know, it's we certainly have become what I would consider a silent majority there. And so we know it's happening, and it's happening right before our eyes. And we certainly have become a land of where the people are no longer making decisions. Judges are making the decisions. And we know, I just sense that D.C. has been taken, and everything is changing so rapidly that it really is mind-boggling. And I guess, you know, my question, a lot of people's question is America going to stand with Israel? It certainly appears that they are not. And what do you see there?
Well, so far, they have not stood against Israel in the United Nations, where they have put forward ordinances that would work against the Israel. In other words, like number one, to force Israel to recognize Palestine as a separate nation inside of the areas of Jerusalem and Israel. But what is happening right now is that the United Nations is recognizing, as the United States, recognizing Hamas and also recognizing Palestinians as a freestanding nation. And Israel is not recognized as a freestanding nation by the Palestinians. This is very important because the United States is recognizing Palestine as a legitimate state, which works right against Israel. Mm-hmm. Do I think that the United States is still siding with Israel? Absolutely. I think that the Congress and the Senate are God-fearing enough not to turn their backs on their only friends in the Middle East. Mm-hmm. The Bible says that God's fury in the book of Isaiah will mount up. The Bible says that God says, when I see you breaking up my land into pieces, mm-hmm. then his fury will come. He does not want the world to cut up the nation of Israel once he's brought the people back, 1948, mm-hmm. and start chopping it up again and start handing them out to the Islamic people, or the radical Islamic people, and the Palestinians. Mm-hmm. Do you know that the Palestinians are actually the ancient Philistines? That Israel has been fighting the Philistines ever since the inception of David, mm-hmm. I'm sorry, of King Saul's reign. It seems like we've been fighting the same sin, if you would, for the existence of Israel. And sad to say, they are invading. They're invading politically and physically. So that's what's happening with the United States. If the United States partakes in making Israel a two-state nation, I don't know what's going to happen to our country. You know, the Bible says if you bless Israel, we will be blessed. If you curse mm-hmm. Israel, we'll be cursed. Mm-hmm. I don't know what God will do to us.
Right.
I really don't. I'm frightful. I think that we should listen to the Prime Minister Netanyahu, the President of Israel. But there will never be a two-state Israel. But the United Nations, they have enough power to force this on them.
Well, we know that Israel certainly understands the covenant that God made with Abraham, and God is a covenant God, and so I think we are living in very momentous days, Maz, and I'm so thankful to have you on these, and I know that you still have a lot of information. And, you know, there's so many things going on in America right now. The Benghazi hearings today and the election of a House Speaker and the Palestinian-Israeli conflict. There's so many things happening right before our eyes that you've been talking about for a long time in your books. And how can people get your books? Last week we talked about the five beasts. And how can people get your materials?
If they just go to AmazonBooks.com, I have an author's page with that company, in Frank Mazzapica, or you can just type in the name of the books. But typing in my name as an author is an entire page which shows my five books that I have right now, and they can order it through them.
Okay. All right. Frank Mazzapica, they just Google that. They could certainly get the information. You have some great books. You're a great writer. We have about 3 minutes left here. I want you to pray, because I made a commitment on to the Lord from BPN. Won't talk about anything we can't pray about. So would you close with a prayer today?
Yes, sir. Father, I thank you for all of our listeners, and especially the Bible students, those that are given to study the Word of the Lord. I pray that the word goes out, that not only do we preach the rapture, which we're excited about, but I pray that we will preach the coming kingdom of God, where Jesus Christ said that that was his purpose. I pray we spread this word, the gospel, the good news about the coming brand new world order that Jesus Christ is going to bring to this earth for 1,000 years. And for any listener that is not living for Jesus Christ, please, I implore you, I pray, Father, I pray that you will woo them to an altar, bring them, coo them to a church so that they can give their heart to Jesus Christ before it's too late, because we're so close to the second coming of Jesus Christ. This is my prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen and amen. Maz, it's been great to have you on today. And you have enlightened us today, raised a lot of questions about the end times. And I believe that we're right there. And I'm so thankful to have you on the broadcast today.
Thank you so very much for having me.
Okay, God bless you. Bye-bye.
I see the Lord seated on the throne, exalted. Yeah.
Com News Director Delvin Kintzer. Pray with us for another spiritual awakening in America and around the world.
This is Narana Kuchurka, and thank you for listening to bpnradio.com.
Hey, good to have you listening here today on this Wednesday Watch on bpnradio.com. Trust you enjoyed the interview with Frank Mazapika on the millennial reign. Wow. Wow. Good to have you listening. Remember, the views and opinions on this program or any of our broadcasts or shows on bpnradio.com may or may not be the views of the Breakout Prayer Network. BPN Radio is not responsible for any counsel or prophetic words given on this broadcast. We're delighted that you're listening. This program is produced by Michael Sean Bourne, edited by Aliona Pachuca, supported by you, our loyal listeners, partners, and friends. Remember, if you'd like to be a monthly partner at the Breakout Prayer Network, bpnradio.com, you can go to bpnradio.com and click on the donate button, and you'll have the information. You can use your credit card, debit card, your PayPal, and if you want to be a monthly contributor, there's just a box there just below your donation where you can click on that and become a monthly partner. Even Jesus had monthly partners, so we appreciate it so very, very much. Good to have you listening here on bpnradio.com on this Wednesday Watch. Don't forget today, this is Wednesday. Don't forget today at 11:55 is Roy Beard, and he'll be on with the Word from the Wall at noon today. Will be a corporate prayer service from Forest Hill, Louisiana, Trinity Christian Center. Dr. David and Yvonne Remedios lead that every Wednesday from noon. Of course, all of these are Central Time, noon till 1 o'clock on bpnradio.com. Programming throughout the day and the night. And, Night Watch every night, midnight till 5 a.m. with my granddaughter, Brittany Greenlee. And, of course, we just have programming and prayer all around the clock. And we are so delighted that you are listening. We appreciate you listening so very, very much. I would like to remind you that Rhonda Kintzer is on every Friday live at 10 a.m. on bpnradio.com and Facebook. She's also doing biblical counseling. And Rhonda is a very qualified, spirit-filled, qualified counselor. She has a master's degree in counseling psychology, and she's doing counseling on the phone or Skype, FaceTime. And she says, well, I believe I'm a firm believer in the truth that prayer changes things. Sometimes people need more. They need someone to come alongside them during hard-to-handle and difficult seasons in their life. For 20 years, she said, I partner with the Holy Spirit and the truth of God's Word to help women find His rest in the midst of life's storms. So it's for women only, and it's you must be 18 years or older. If you'd like to have a free consultation with Rhonda, remember these sessions are 1 hour, and they're weekly, and they're on a donation basis only. But there's a free consultation. You can call Rhonda at 620-482. That's 620-482-6180. Rhonda Kintzer, highly recommend her counseling, and always look forward to her Friday program on bpnradio.com. Remember that we are providing a microphone for those of you that want to preach the gospel. 18 hours of preaching now on bpnradio.com. Our official kickoff is a week from Sunday. I believe that is the 26th of August, but we're already starting to play sermons. All you have to do, if you're interested in hosting a program or maybe supporting somebody else to preach, you just go to Rick Gentry at bpnradio.com. That's Rick Gentry, bpnradio, at gmail.com. Let me repeat that one more time. Rick Gentry, bpnradio, at gmail.com. Rick's phone number is 214 214-918-8707. That's 214-918-8707. I just want to pray for each of you and just speak a blessing upon you today. Those of you that need prayer, whatever's happening in your life, this is a prayer station, and I just want to spend a few moments praying for you. Father, I just lift up everyone that has a special need to you need today that's listening to hear on bpnradio.com, the Wednesday Watch. Whatever the situation might be in their lives, I pray, oh God, that you would minister to them. I pray that you would heal the sick. I pray that you would set the captive free. I pray that you would minister, Lord, to every need that is represented here in our listening audience, whether they're listening at 2 o'clock, 5 o'clock, 10 o'clock, or the 10 o'clock session here today, in Jesus' name. I pray for parents as they get ready to send their children back to school. I pray, Lord, for the coming elections. I pray in Jesus' name for the for revival in America, another spiritual awakening. I pray for our troops, our soldiers, our police officers that are patrolling our streets. I pray for President Trump and his family. I pray, Lord, for divine appointments and divine connections. Lord, I pray for the glory of God to fill this nation. Lord, we need your help, and we just believe you for it. I bless everyone that is listening today. You're on bpnradio.com. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. God bless you. Just ask, pray that you'll have a wonderful day today. And keep listening all day long to bpnradio.com. Sure love you.
You've been listening to BPN Radio with Dale Gentry, your 24-hour internet prayer station. Tell your friends around the world to listen to this hourly broadcast as we pray for a revival in America, another spiritual awakening. Remember, as America goes, so goes the world. BPN Radio is sponsored by you, their loyal listeners and prayer partners. To donate to this network, click on the donate button on our website at www.bpnradio.com. Remember that your contributions are tax deductible. Tune in at the same time or any time, day or night, to pray with Dale Gentry.
when I think about the Lord, how he picked me up and turned me around, how he placed my feet on solid ground, it makes me want to shout,
hallelujah,
thank you, Jesus, for you're worthy of all the glory and all the honor and all the praise. It makes me
thank you. You have my heart, and I will search for yours. Jesus, take my life and lead me on. Oh, Lord, you have my heart, and I will search for yours. Let me be to you a sacrifice.
know where to go and no one to turn to bring back the joy that you once knew. Hurry to the hymn of his garment. Run to the feet of Jesus. Cry out to him, have mercy on
and went where she had never dared. Everybody makes mistakes, the doctor reassured. Nobody has to know, the choice is yours. Well, the years come and gone, she's still searching for that love. And every little child just reminds her of the choice that she made. The price of the trail, will the haunting memory ever go away? Sometimes late at night, she can hear the voice she never heard, crying out for love she never gave. Even though forgiven, there are times she can hardly stand the hurt from the scars that she bears to this day. Was the memory of a lesson she wished she never would have learned. It comes back every night in the voice she never heard. There are times she can hardly stand for her. From the scars that she bears to this day, was the memory of a lesson she wished she never would have learned. It comes back every night in the voice she never heard.
To just let go. So many things I'd like to change along this broken road. I need the chance to start again. There's no future in my past. And there's no moving on for me if I'm always looking back. It's time to forgive and forget. Mercy has no memory. Grace has no regret. God took those sins and buried them far as the east is from the west. And if Jesus can forgive, it's time to forgive myself. Every one of my mistakes has been buried by the waves. In the sea of God's forgetfulness, He washed them all away. Beyond all I have done, to the heart of who I am. And the one who saw me fall so hard gives me strength to stand. It's time to forgive and forget. Mercy has no memory. Has no regret. God took those sins and carried them far as the east is from the west.
it's time to forgive myself.
Oh, holy God, you are the melody, the cry that's ringing
Let your healing waters flow. Healing waters flow. Healing waters flow over me. Let your healing waters flow. Healing waters flow. Let your healing waters flow over me.
Healing waters flow. somewhere up in heaven, walking down the streets of gold. Your wrinkles all have vanished, no more signs of being old. I'm reminded of the times we shared, and the songs you'd sing to me. Like when the rollers call up yonder, and just a closer walk with thee. And although you sometimes struggle, I'd see you on your knees. Now that closer walk you dreamed about has become reality. No more doubt of where you will go, 'cause now you finally know what we tried to tell you. And you may rest and know that you are safe within His arms of grace. And I know that someday we'll meet again. Somewhere up in heaven, you're looking out over a garden. It's the most beautiful garden you could have ever imagined. And I know that if the Lord would allow it to be so, you'd be dressed in your overalls instead of that white robe. And although your hands are dirty, your heart is white as snow. There's a smile upon your face, just like the one I used to know. No more doubt of where you will go, 'cause now you finally know what we tried to tell you. You may rest and know that you are safe within His arms of grace. And I know that someday, though we'll miss you here below, it fills our hearts with hope to know that we will meet again in the presence of our King. No more doubt of where you will go, 'cause now you finally know what we tried to tell you. You may rest and know that you are safe within His arms of grace. And I know that someday we'll meet again. Papa, someday we'll meet again.
the glory of the risen Lord. Who can compare with the beauty of the Lord? I will proclaim the glory of the risen Lord, who once was slain to reconcile man to God. Forever he will be upon the throne. I gladly bow the knee and worship him
after I've done everything, I will stand with my eyes on the King of Kings. I will stand. I will stand. I will stand in confidence to see the Lord's deliverance. Yes, I will stand. I will stand at this, I'm absolutely sure. I see the goodness of the Lord. Yes, I will stand. Because I'm standing. Jesus, I'm standing.
even in the darkest day, I will stand and bring a sacrifice of praise. I will stand. I will stand. No matter what is thrown at me, I'll stand against the devil's king. Yes, I will stand. Unafraid I'm standing firm. Yes, I will stand. Because I'm standing with Jesus. I'm standing with my King.
Been listening to BPN Radio with Dale Gentry, your 24-hour internet prayer station. Tell your friends around the world to listen to this hourly broadcast as we pray for revival in America, another spiritual awakening. Remember, as America goes, so goes the world. BPN Radio is sponsored by you, their loyal listeners and prayer partners. To donate to this network, click on the donate button on our website at www.bpnradio.com. Remember that your contributions are tax deductible. Tune in at the same time or any time, day or night, to pray with Dale Gentry.